What do you see on this picture? You know, walking amongst the palace built by Saddam Hussein with Loretta, he took 60 million bricks to restore just part of the southern palace. He wanted to become Nebuchadnezzar III. There was a first, a second one, the famous one in the Bible, and he wanted to be the third. Saddam Hussein wanted to reach the heights of power that Nebuchadnezzar attained to. Where did this mighty ancient king really attain to the most sublime heights? Just as Nippur, biblical Kala, ended in ruins, so that the dreams of Saddam Hussein ended in ruins. You know, earthly dreams, my friends, of haughtiness, disappear and die. Heavenly dreams of being kind to people become immortal. Kind words will never die. Kind deeds will never die. This is God's ideal for us, to be a little different. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, with chariots, and with horsemen, and an army with many people. He was the monarch of the day. He had no peer, the mightiest, the wealthiest. Did Daniel convey Ezekiel's prophecy to Nebuchadnezzar? Yes. For over 40 years, they were in close proximity to one another. Do we have dreams of universal fame? Dreams of wealth and prestige? Is it dangerous to be successful, or is it safe? You know, dreams about other people's progress is more important than dreams for myself. I fulfill God's purpose if my life centers about the interests of people around me. Jesus was a servant. He wants us to be servants. Unrealistic sense of superiority, a view of oneself as better than others, we like to compare, that causes to view others with inferior. A sense of uniqueness, the belief that few others have anything in common with oneself and that one can only be understood by a few or very special people. We are so egocentric. We should empty ourselves of personal dreams and dream about other people and their needs. It's dangerous to be doing too much introspection. Ruins of Nebuchadnezzar's northern palace. When he went to bed at night, he never dreamt that he would forget this specific dream. Amytis, my wife, he said the next morning, I had a dream, but for the life of me, I cannot remember what I dreamt. His reaction when he asked his well-paid learned men to come and solve his problem. He wanted to kill them. What did the serious worshipper of Marduk, the popular god of Babylon, say when Daniel recalled his dream? You see, yeah, they made friends. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God, after Daniel interpreted the dream, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal the secret. Daniel, tell me, man, where do you worship on a Saturday? What time does your divine service begins next Sabbath? This is a beautiful Adventist church in Baghdad. Previously, now it's in the green zone, you cannot worship there. What did the place look like where Daniel and his friends worship? Not like this prestigious Adventist church in Baghdad. My child sang a song in this very impressive church, and they asked me to bring a spiritual message, and I preached about Daniel in Baghdad. The contrast between the venue where Daniel worshipped and the Esagila temple where Marduk was worshipped by Nebuchadnezzar was immense, a beautiful building. How long do you think that he continued worshipping with Daniel on a Sabbath? What was Nebuchadnezzar going to do? You know, conversions are progressive at times. Continuing worshipping Daniel's God or go back to his old church where he worshipped the god Marduk in style and popularity. The high priest of Baal Marduk was so happy when he welcomed the king one Sunday morning at his temple, the Esagila. The impressive temple of Marduk was in close proximity to the very impressive Ziggurat, called the Etemenanki, the ancient Tower of Babel. This was the most beautiful place upon the planet. The worship atmosphere at Esagila Temple of Nebuchadnezzar was hypnotic. I once visited St. Peter's in Rome. The music was hypnotic, the atmosphere, the smell. And I think the Esagila Temple had the same features. The world's best choir and the world's best orchestra filled the most beautiful temple with the most beautiful acoustics in the world. So this is what Nebuchadnezzar was used to. Not Daniel's little church, somewhere in a little room. What would these runes tell us if they could talk? They would tell of the disappointment of Daniel and his friends when Nebuchadnezzar deserted them. But they did not stop praying for Nebuchadnezzar. Maybe you have the same experience. A dear one leaves the church, husband, spouse, child. It's not a very pleasant feeling. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, with its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. He ignored the first image, where he was only part of one of the four kingdoms, and he decided to build another one, representing himself as the golden image from top to bottom. What kind of universal religious law was proclaimed by Nebuchadnezzar? Results of disobedience? I'm just running over these facts. I did it before. Just look at my series on Daniel at Amazing Discoveries. Now, what is the meaning of the word Dura? The golden image was erected between two of the huge defensive walls of Babylon. These are in close proximity, but the others had more distance between them. Now, everyone had to bow down at Dura, between these huge walls, before this image, when the orchestra started to play. Who refused to do this and why? By the way, Zedekiah from Jerusalem was part of this assembly. He tied his shoelaces. The king's reaction when he saw Jesus with the three Hebrew youths in the fiery furnace? God never gives up on people. People give up on him, but he never gives up on us. The king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." What impression did the glorious Christ make upon Nebuchadnezzar when he saw him descending in all his glory to this planet in chapter 2? What a condescending contrast when he saw the mighty, glorious Creator God in humble human form among the three Hebrews. His God Marduk would not have done this. He doesn't think Marduk would venture to take on such a humble guise to visit people in a fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him." His second conversion. "And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own god." Monotheism. "Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces." That's very cruel. This is not religion. It's cruelty. "And their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." The words of Daniel when he interpreted the dream of the king comes back to Nebuchadnezzar. Let's read it. "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Suddenly, the king becomes a world evangelist. I like this. The huge delegation went home to tell their people of the God of the Hebrews saving his servants. A very humble king was back on Sabbath to the worship with Daniel of this mighty God, the God of the Hebrews. The beautiful image of Jesus overshadowed that of Marduk and the Ezagila temple. He worshipped with Daniel and his three friends. This is one of the original stones. They say it's a replica, but never mind. He speaks about his greatness here. An idolater by birth and training, and at the head of an idolatrous people, he had nevertheless an innate sense of justice and right. Beautiful. And God was able to use him as an instrument for the punishment of the rebellious and for the fulfillment of divine purpose. This is a very important statement. Judah had to be punished because every offense have a consequence. And God used him to do this. And in the beginning, he dealt a fair punishment. Later on, he changed. What has he written on this image discovered recently? There you see the king. "O Babylon, people who see you are filled with joy and admiration. Your citizens live longer." This is what he's writing here. I was so excited when I got this. So before that, he was an honest worshipper of Babylon and its god, Marduk. "He who speaks disrespectfully of Babylon," writes Nebuchadnezzar, "is like somebody who kills his mother." Ooh, it's a great offense. "Babylon is like a date palm tree whose fruit is tasteful and beautiful to behold." His description of the city that he beautified. Now, these excavations in the Pergamon Museum in Berlin are but a small evidence of the indescribable splendor and beauty of this once metropolis of the world. Words cannot describe that beauty. Walking back from Daniel's humble church, he passed the beautiful Ishtar Gate, a masterpiece of his own hand. Now there were two things in his head. Worshipping with Daniel and his three friends, and then just looking at how smart he really was. He continues walking till he gets to the procession street. The glazed lines reminded him of the fact that he is a symbol of his own empire. While admiring his handiwork, he makes a little mistake. Instead of giving glory to God who qualified him to accomplish it, he boasts his own skills. By the way, to boast is dangerous. To be filled with gratitude is safe. Did you get this? To boast about yourself is dangerous. To be filled with gratitude is safe. The credit does not belong to you. The one who gave it to you should be credited. What happened on a certain day when he looked at the splendor of the most beautiful, the richest city of the planet? The king spoke, saying, is not this the great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for my honor and majesty? The personal pronoun is repeated 6 times, 666. What prompted his proud heart to make this comment? What prompts our proud hearts to make comments about ourselves? You know, we like to tell people how cute we are. Daniel 4:4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. What did the word at rest mean? In the context, it refers to arrogance and self-complacency. And then he dreamt that very night. By the way, when David took a rest, it was the end of his pure story. I saw a dream which made me afraid. And the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the well-paid men, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream. But they did not make known to me its interpretation. Who will come to his assistance? One guess. But at last Daniel came before me, his name Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. In him is the spirit of the holy God. Had Bible studies with Daniel. And I told the dream. Daniel, this is what I dreamt, saying, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the Holy Spirit is in you, and no secret troubles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and its interpretation. Please, Daniel, help me, man. You've helped me in the past. Help me again. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. Daniel, man, this tree was so big. The tree grew and became strong. There was progression, Daniel. Its height reached to the heavens. Man, you cannot imagine. And it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Of course, he was a world ruler. Everybody could see him. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. People in those days were used to inquire the meaning of unusual dreams. God usually meets us on common grounds. So God gave this dream to Nebuchadnezzar. By the way, at the Wadi Briza inscription in Lebanon, there's also this huge tree. Correlation? I saw in the vision of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher. Now the dream becomes interesting. A holy one coming down from heaven. Remember, he had a dream in Chapter 2, from God coming down from heaven. He saw this again. He cried aloud and said thus, that's the messenger from heaven, chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Only when you read the end of this chapter can you appreciate the grammar here. Nevertheless, leave the stump. This was the only little comfort. Leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Takes a different approach. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast. And let seven times pass over him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers. And the sentence by the word of the holy ones. In order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation. Since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. What is happening here? Ah, the friendship is back. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time. Why was he astonished? And his thoughts troubled him. Why? So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Please, Daniel, relax, my friend. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, may the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concern your enemies. Poor Daniel. He knows the disastrous content of the dream. Would it be revealed to the king, and then maybe lose his own life? If he keeps quiet, the king might lose eternal life. So there was for a little time a struggle in the heart of Daniel. But there's a theme in the book of Daniel. Do what is right and leave the consequences to God. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, O king, whose height reached the heavens and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, in which food was for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and in whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home. Excuse me, King, it is you, O King, who have grown to become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. Nebuchadnezzar, the dream concerns you. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him. This, your majesty, is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High. You saw him in two places, the burning fire, furnace, and in chapter 2 of my book. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. And Nebuchadnezzar, this is serious. listen to me. They shall drive you from men. You will not be able to sit in your palace anymore. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts. This is going to happen. Of the field. And they shall make you eat grass like oxen. No menu for you, Nebuchadnezzar. Grass will be your food. You'll become a vegan. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven. And King, seven times shall pass over you, 7 years, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. So, King, this is the situation. When you acknowledge that God rules and not you, something will change. Therefore, O King, can you hear the voice of Daniel? Let my advice be acceptable to you, please. Break off with your sins by being righteous and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. King, you've become too cruel lately. You were not like this before. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. I like this. It applies to me and you. Showing mercy to poor people. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity and yours and mine as well. What would happen if Nebuchadnezzar forsakes his arrogant behavior and his suppression of human beings? Prosperity. What was prophesied concerning Nineveh? Would repentance also works for us? You know, the Lord said through Jonah, listen, the city would be destroyed. But then they repented, and the prophecy was no more necessary. Listen what happened then. Maybe ask Nebuchadnezzar, let's pray about this matter. Kneel and pray about the matter. What prevented its destruction? The fact that this is Nineveh, that they repented. What is repentance? Epistrephu. Turn around. You're in the wrong direction to destruction. Turn around towards God. This is the word repentance. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. So, I think Daniel just kept on praying for him. Because Daniel knew what was going to happen. And remember, Nebuchadnezzar also knew what was going to happen. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? Repeating the me, my. Clay tablets revealed much of this ecocentric statement. In the British Museum, you can read it. Then I built the palace, the seat of my royalty, the bond of my race of men, the dwelling of exultation, rejoicing. It was such a beautiful city. And here Nebuchadnezzar writes about it. Archaeology says what the Bible says. In Babylon, the city which I prefer, which I love, was the palace. The amazement of the people, the bond of the land, the brilliant palace, the abode of majesty on the ground of Babylon, from the same source. While the word was still in the king's mouth, this is so sad, while he was still speaking, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And suddenly, he lost his mind. You know, in institutions, where they help psychological patients, the frequency of the personal pronoun is 3 times higher than in normal cases. So the more you speak about yourself, the madder you are. We call it megalomania. This is what happened to him. That's why Daniel pled with him not to do it. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen. So God spoke the same words to the king than Daniel spoke to him. And 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he chooses. God is the boss. He is the sovereign. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. The sad words. He was driven from fame and wealth. Driven from sanity. And he was driven from men and ate grass like an oxen. What a humiliating experience. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like the bird's claws. What a sight! From glory and kingly fame to the shameful status of eating grass like an ox. From the most brilliant mind of his day, from the status of the most powerful ruler of the world to the status of an animal, to the level of the lowest and the weakest of the weak. We have a great author in our country in South Africa, Opperman. He says, the worm watches over everyone. Amongst the broken ruins and pottery of Babylon, my thoughts went out to this broken, insane Nebuchadnezzar. Periodically, shafts of heavenly light penetrated his disordered brain, inviting him to look up. Nebuchadnezzar, the God of Daniel, wants to fill your heart with peace. Peace and joy that transcends other earthly emotions, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, just look up. Do you think Daniel visited him and touched him? I think Daniel prayed as he never prayed before for the conversion of this man. Maybe the only human contact he experienced through these dark, horrible days was a gentle touch of Daniel, praying for him, and he could hear the prayer. But he was still proud. Ancient beliefs of those days forbade touching an insane because this would cause the same insanity. So he had no human touch. But Daniel rejected the heathen practice. And then one day, God invited him again to look up to the God of Daniel. And he sees again the rock in all its glory, which he saw in his dream when he was still a young ruler. What Enoch saw, the king also sees. The glorious second coming of the kings of kings, the Lord of lords. He sees Jesus the rock in all his divine splendor coming down to make an end of your pain and mine, of our disappointments and death, the death of the planet and all living creatures. In this moment of ecstasy, something happens. For the first time, the love of God just floods his mind. Overwhelming. Can you imagine this creature in the grass? Well, he still looks at the glorious approaching of the rock. Something else calls for his attention. Tombs yielding their captives who are clothed with immortal glory and rises to meet Daniel's guard in the air. And maybe he saw himself in this vision. He watches as the resurrected saints approach the holy city, whose glory outshines the glory of the starry heavens, who looks in comparison like a little glowworm. He sees the splendor of God. He sees the incarnate Jesus visiting his faithful friends in the fiery furnace. And something happens inside the heart of this great king. Tears. Start flowing down his cheeks. These runes saw a maniac lifts up his head and stares up into the blue Mesopotamian skies. Stones on this side of Babylon also saw what happened. Tears of admiration and love for God flows freely from his happy face. Listen to his prayer. O God of Daniel. O God of Daniel. Thank you for not only forgiving my sins, but also healing this wretch. I believe that Daniel prayed for him since 605, when they met in Jerusalem for the first time, until 562. When the king died 43 years later. By the way, how long have you been praying for a loved one? Is your life exemplary to that of Daniel? Maybe Daniel was with him when he looked up. His words to Daniel and Daniel's words to him. Listen to his autobiography. At the end of the time, and I hope this clay tablet would be discovered in my lifetime. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, ad infinitum. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. He was taken back to Babylon, and he was sitting on the throne once again to rule the ancient world. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, listen to this, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol, not Marduk, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. All of those works are truth, and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he's able to put down. I want to join Daniel and his three friends to Nebuchadnezzar's baptism in the Euphrates River. In symbolism of his baptism, the king rejoiced in the death, resurrection, and ascension of the Son of God, which he saw twice, three times now, in visions. God's purpose that the greatest kingdom in the world should show forth his praise was now fulfilled. This public proclamation, in which Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged the mercy and goodness and authority of God, was the last act in his life recorded in sacred history. He died a saved man. This is just an artist's impression of the resurrection. I hope one day to see the resurrection of Nebuchadnezzar meeting Jesus in the air. And my dear friend, I desperately want to be part of this climactic last day event. And lastly, I want to see you there. Father in heaven, thank you for saving Nebuchadnezzar at last. And I pray for our dear ones. May this also happen to them at last. Thank you for the Bible and its beautiful messages. Write every word on our heart, and may we soon see the Logos who became flesh, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.